Life magazine photographer Eugene Smith accumulated thousands of hours of audio tapes and images of some of the greatest jazz musicians of the 1950s and 60s. Sam Stevenson found the recordings and photos in boxes and got to work preserving and archiving them, a task that led to the book, The Jazz Loft Project. Stevenson joins Michael Glab on this week's edition of Big Talk.
Hi, this is Big Talk. Michael Glab here. My guest this week in the studio, author, jazz maven, Sam Stevenson. Sam, thanks for being on Big Talk.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Sam, your life, to a large extent, has been devoted to this fellow, Gene Smith. Who's Gene Smith?
Well, he made his name as a combat photographer in World War II. And then he went on to be a Life magazine photo essayist. If you Googled him, you'd often see the phrase, the master of the photographic essay or the father of the photographic essay. He was a pioneer in creating visual stories, which back before television was the primary way that people received their imagery were in weekly or monthly magazine stories. And Life magazine, of course, was the powerhouse of that model.
I've looked at some of his images, and he's got that gritty, stark kind of photography that it wasn't perfumed. It didn't pull any punches.
He called himself a photojournalist from until he died. And I believe he was kind of riddled by this tension between journalism and art. Huh. And so he was always looking for gritty things, and sometimes if they weren't there, he would insert them into the picture.
How did you get interested in this fellow?
Well, it started in 1997. I was fascinated by the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and was interested in writing my own book on Pittsburgh, and I stumbled upon a reference to Eugene Smith's unfinished Pittsburgh project from the 1950s. To make a long story short, Smith went to Pittsburgh in 1955 for a three-week assignment and ended up staying for 4 years and made 22,000 photos in the city, and he never finished the project. So what I did was I tried to pick up the pieces of his failed Pittsburgh project. So my first project was a little, what I thought was a fairly benign magazine article about Smith's Pittsburgh project. It's for a magazine called Double Take. And here I am today, 20 years later, more than 20 years later, and I'm just finishing all of that work. In 1955, he quit Life magazine, where he had been highly successful for more than a decade. He gave all of that up because he was not happy with the artistic limitations that he felt at the magazine. He felt like the editors were not giving him enough artistic freedom. He had a wife and four kids living out in Croton on Hudson. Mm-hmm. They had a really big house, and he was having trouble finishing the Pittsburgh project. It's just the ambitions kept going up and up and up, and it just was impossible. And he was also addicted to alcohol and addicted to amphetamines, and so these kind of cycles of highs and lows. He was also probably almost certainly bipolar. Hmm. So he had these cycles of 5 days without sleeping, just working, and then he would crash. And it just was a way of life that wasn't conducive to being in a family home. So he left in 1957 and moved into this dilapidated building on 6th Avenue and 28th Street in New York City. And it just so happened to be that building was an after-hours haven of jazz musicians. Uh-huh. And hundreds of jazz musicians and some classical musicians as well.
Really
and
well-known guys.
Yeah, some people like Thelonious Monk, Chick Corea, Steve Reich, the classical composer, went there, as well as very obscure figures as well. It was a perfect habitat for him. The musicians were all there to jam.
You discovered about 40,000 photographic images. You found about 1,700 hours of tapes audio tapes?
I was working on the Pittsburgh project when I found in the back of his photography archive at the University of Arizona these boxes full of tapes, reel-to-reel tapes, and they'd been in the same boxes since the archive was created back in the 1970s. You know, and I started picking through them on one of my trips out there, and I just noticed these names like Thelonious Monk on there and others, Zoot Sims and Bill Evans and other names, Art Farmer. And so I just became curious about those tapes, and no one had ever heard them before because the University of Arizona had the rightful policy that the tapes needed to be properly preserved before they were played back.
Because running them through a machine could degrade them.
Could damage them, yeah. And that was the right policy. But it made it daunting because it meant we had to raise a lot of money to preserve those tapes before we could listen to them. He had the building wired from the sidewalk up to the fifth floor. He wired the stairwell. He wired the fire escape. I mean, he was recording great jazz jam sessions, but he was also recording street noise, people walking up and down the stairs, things off radio and TV, random conversations.
In a sense, he lost his mind?
Well, you'd have to say that if someone did that now, you know, that you knew in your neighborhood, that you'd probably reach that conclusion. So in addition to photographing the jazz musicians inside the building, he exposed an equal number of negatives through the window of life in the neighborhood. And again, that's just really invaluable because he documented that corner from that one vantage point in a way I often said he was like a biologist studying a half acre, you know, of forest. So I got really lucky. In 1999, I published an article about this building in New York City in Double Take magazine, but I had not heard the tapes because they still needed to be preserved. So I wrote an article about it. It was covered on CBS Sunday Morning. I was on that show. And in Chicago on that Sunday morning, there was a wealthy man named David Logan on his, he said later, he was on his treadmill watching CBS Sunday Morning as he did every Sunday. And there was this story about my article with me. And so he went and found the magazine, read it. And then a few weeks later, I get this call out of the blue. And David Logan said, you know, I read your article. I saw your spot on TV. What can we do to help?
Sam Stevenson, the author of Gene Smith's Sink, a brand new book out in the bookstores now. Sam, thank you for being on Big Talk.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was WFHB correspondent Michael Glab speaking with author Sam Stevenson about his book, The Jazz Loft Project. You can hear this feature and all other features on our website at wfhb.org.